Chapter 69 Lyria The Child Wives. The sound of zithers wails through the concrete halls as we're led in a line down to the township common, where several hundred bearded men and boys with smears for whiskers laugh and drink at long tables. Some few fighter women join them, hair done short like the men. Oil fires burn in metal barrels. Boys race men to see the bottom of their mugs. The stolen wealth of other races decorates their coats. Gold sigils clatter as they laugh. Obsidian arm talks encircle the necks of their child wives. The richer they are, the less the women can move. They look like birds sitting at their tables, set back from the fighters, gossiping or staring at the cups before them, wishing what's inside would numb them faster. The men cheer as we're brought in, but it's short-lived. It all becomes solemn as we're lined up in another row of dolls. Girls stare at their feet. Some brave ones, like Freckles, look on ahead like they're at the gallows. Harmony takes her place of honour at the head table. Mugs are slammed in unison, making a mockery of the fading dirge, until she raises her hands and quiets all. I scan the township levels, trying to piece it all together and figure where they keep Victra and Volga. "Hail the children," she says. "Hail the wives, but above all, hail the fighters," Harmony calls. "Coran O'Boisha!" The men roar and slam their mugs. "For the killing of 5 obsidian barbarians and the taking of 40 torques in the highlands, you are a boy no more. It's time a wife made a man of you. The prime pick is yours." A drunken man-boy, uncommonly tall and handsome, except for the case of childhood pox, manages to stand straight under a barrage of backslaps and jeering. With a shy grin, he makes his way down the line, glancing at each of our faces, passing mine without pausing, until he comes to Freckles. She almost cracks her tooth then and there. He bows unsteadily and extends a crumpled hemanthus. I wince as she glances back at me. One of the hens comes behind her and, pinching the small of her back so the men can't see, whispers in her ear. Freckles takes the hemanthus, hands shaking so badly she nearly drops it. The fighters roar in approval as Dagan takes her hand and they walk to an empty table and sit. He pours her ale and downs half a mug himself. 16 times the choosing ritual is repeated, until Duncan tucks a flask away and whispers to Picker. Picker cackles and shoves him forward. "Duncan Osiris has finally dropped his balls. He wants a lass. What do you say, mother?" Harmony snorts. "He waited long enough. Go on, lad." Only 3 of us remain. Old hag me, Lion, and a plump newcomer. Duncan takes a hemanthus from the barrel, walks straight up to me and offers it. I almost forget to take it. Lion is picked last by a man of 50. Even some of the red hands watch him with disdain as he leads his child wife away. The farce of a ceremony is a blur. Whatever they gave us in the wine took a bit to start. It numbed me at first, but now it creeps on little cat feet as we stand together between the braziers and some man babbles on about duty or some such. Many of the words are the same I heard when my sister married. Feel a little sick hearing them now. My hands clutching dirt with Duncan's, both wrapped together by a blood-stained cloth woven by the wife slaves. He's shifting nervously foot to foot, his early confidence in shambles for some reason. I watch the acrid black smoke from the braziers weave upward to the roof of the mine. All this is a lie. All this pretending the world ain't changing. I was jealous of my sister, but I never wanted a husband, not me. Maybe I thought I wanted one. But that was just because it said something that I didn't have one, that I got skipped over at wed age. I feel sick inside that it happens like this. I repeat some words that I can't remember, even as my mouth's saying them. That wine's something fierce. The other girls are like warm dolls, wavering there with all the steadiness of riverside cattails. I'm wondering if it was a good idea to give them the teeth. How many will yellow out? How many will rat on me soon as they get their wits? Tails can't be the only coward. Maybe the wine's good. Makes them slow and easy instead of twitchy and fearful. I still got to find the big girls. Fortunately, the men are nearly as drunk as we are, especially Duncan. For courage? For fear? For weakness? Fuck knows. Maybe they're just tired of getting butchered by obsidians. Some swirl and new cunny must be the veil itself after fighting Seffi's beasts. The few amongst the hand who ain't drunk are the old boys, grisly lechers who are corner-looking out their eyes at their wives. I want to retch knowing what Lion's old man is thinking. Did any of them rape my sister? Did Duncan? I look over at him. He's so young, so handsome, so vile. I know the marriage is done when there's a cheer. For all his smiles and earlier politeness, Duncan gives me about 2 seconds before I feel his cold tongue probing between my clamped lips. I let him in and he sticks it almost to the back of my throat, cupping my ass with his hands. He smells of shit tobacco and bitter swill and body odour and mint. He sighs into me, hungry. That was quick. Then it's celebration. Women hug me, men hug me. I'm passed about like one of the clan, like I'm not a sow whore they stole from her people. Then there's dancing. Duncan is popular with the men. He twirls me and probes my body like he owns it. Nausea comes in a tide. Fearing I'll retch, I pat Duncan on the chest and stumble over to a table and sit hunched and feeling the world swooping around me. A blur of faces flicker past, all laughing and gay. I want to crawl under the table. I want to hide until the world doesn't feel like some spinning kaleidoscope of horror. But a stone-cold realization sets on me that if I do that, if I curl up, if I stay seated, I'll end up waking in a tangle of sheets in a stone home like the one I grew tall in, except I won't be hearing my mother in the morning. I'll be hearing Duncan snoring drunkenly and feeling the taste of stale liquor in my mouth like old plums and the sore ache of my maidenhead split. It ain't the parasite telling me I gotta move. I gotta be smart. I gotta find Volga and Victra. The parasite is quiet, though no longer contained to just my head. I feel its tendrils inside me, like roots along my bones. What does it want? If it weren't damaged, what could it do? Wondering that won't save me here. What would Ephraim do? How would he find the big girls? I force myself to stand. Am I standing? I'm numb, but my feet are on the ground. Duncan's on his knees, taking swill from a big gourd as men chant. I stumble to him. He coughs liquor as I pull at him, and he puts his hand on my ass. Dance with me, I think I say. Soon we're dancing, so I must have said it. Colours and hair and tassels flicker past. Amongst the laughing faces, I see a girl. Is it Freckles? She stares at the ground as her husband twirls her and laughs. Duncan's hot against me. I feel his rank breath on my neck, the sweat from his forehead against mine. He grinds against me, and I feel his manhood hard against my thigh. It ain't that big a wedding, I say. What you mean? He asks. My darling disappointed. I thought the Red Hand was an army. It is an army, he cries. Legions deep. We're all over Samaria, don't you know? No war talk for my wife's lips. Dance with me. I let him twirl me, and I hold back a surge of vomit that squirrels up my throat. He pins me against him as the music slows. "It's not an army," I say, all spoiled-like. "Just a gaggle." "A gaggle," he crows. "We's been hit hard, sure, but there's more Brothers Deep here and two more mines."
"Doing what? Drinking?"
"Nah, some's mining, some's training, some's guarding the prisoners. You know the gold hiding in your village?"
"I thought there was an obsidian too."
"Huge one. Wouldn't believe your eyes. Big as the Reaper himself." She's not. "Got her with the others." I prod him a little. "Caught some coldies in the plains. Harmony put them to work in the deep tunnels, clearing pit vipers and hauling ore."
"Tamed obsidians. I heard it all now. I don't believe you."
"It's true."
"Prove it then."
He's drunk enough to consider it. I grind my hips against his manhood.
"I'll let you show me something else if you show me the coldies. Never seen one before."
I play with the whiskers of his beard.
"I thought you'd show me a whole new life."
"That does it." Duncan steers me through the throng and grabs a growler of swill for the trip. I paw at him, a new notion coming to me.
"Shouldn't we bring the lads some?"
"What lads?"
"The lads guarding the coldies."
He grins. "That's a fine consideration." Grabbing a couple growlers of swill, we stumble away from the party. I'm glad I asked for the tour, despite the toll. The trip is not short, nor is it innocent. Duncan pulls me drunkenly and pins me twice against a tunnel wall as we go down. Each time I roll the back of my knuckles against his manhood and say, "Soon, my love." I make sure to remember each of the turns. 20 steps down the third tunnel, first right. 100 steps down the ladder. God's, the drug they put in the wine is strong. I feel like I'm wading through melting butter by the time we hit the grav lift down to the mines. Duncan pukes in the corner and wipes his lips, laughing as he washes his mouth out with swill from the growler. As he retches again, I quickly strip the hemanthus he pinned to my dress and grind it into the mouths of the open growlers we carry for the boys. By the time he's wiping his mouth, I've put the corks back in. I don't think he saw. The grav lift spits us out into a dark cavern lit by glow lamps. The grinding racket of drills mauls my ears as we stumble together toward the mining teams. When I visited my father's drill team, I remember feeling wonder as I saw how important he was. A provider, a real man that I got to bring lunch to. It seemed so exciting back then. But this pit is infernal. Wet heat suffocates everything. The noise is unbearable. Men mill about the top of a tunnel where down deep a claw drill burrows into Mars. Red, evil light glows up from the pit. Haulbacks dump hissing haul tubes of helium-3 on the lip of the mine and rappel back down. Chain gangs of slaves heft the loads in metal backpacks and take them down another tunnel. There must be hundreds of them. Red-hand men rove along the chain gang lines with scorchers and pikes that glisten with electricity at the tips. "Duran," my husband calls to a sweating red man with a gut the size of Samaria. The man shoves a boy with a hairless face out of the way and comes to give Duncan a hug. "A man now, I hear," Duran rumbles. "Is this the wee lass who's done the deed?" "I scored well," Duncan mumbles. "All the other blossoms are stumbling drunk, and my sweetheart here wanted to bring you poor night shifters some evening swill." He leans in. "And get a look at the coldies." "That's a lass," Duran says. "You did well." He thumps him on the shoulder, and we hand over our growlers. I hope they can't taste the hemanthus. With the heat down here, I doubt they'll gainsay anything cold. Duran asks me a question. I mumble a sweet reply and curtsy. I tip over, and the men help me up, laughing. Dusting my skirts, I pout and scan the line of slaves. There's oranges, reds, browns, a half-dead blue, greys, but no obsidians.
Duncan promised me coldies.
Can't let Duncan fall flat already, Duran says. He bellows at his men to bring up one of the ice bitch teams. Several minutes pass. Then I hear a clattering. A team of 12 obsidians, locked together with heavy iron chains, shuffles forward, driven by several men with stun pikes.
Warrior race, my ass, Duran says. They even got a queen now. But who's your king, bitch?
He pokes one of the obsidians with his pike. The tall woman grunts and glares at him. Her body is covered with winged symbols.
Duncan, there's the one you got yourself.
Duran points to a hunched woman covered in grime and stunpike burns. Volga. It's barely been 2 days since I've seen her, but she looks as if it's been 5 years. Her bare feet are bloody and shaking against the cavern floor. Her face is obscured by her hair, but her eyes stare distantly at the feet of Duran.
Oh, they're so dreadful, like idiot bears, I say.
At the sound of my voice, Volga looks up. She allows only a bare glimmer of recognition. I touch my head as though faint.
Oh, there's evil in those bottles, Duncan.
Volga's eyes dart to the growlers Duran has passed to his men.
I feel faint. Take me out of this heat.
All right, coldies, back to work. Zoo's over.
Duran shouts at her and sticks her in the side with his pike. She grunts and trudges on, one foot after the other. Before she disappears back into the mouth of the tunnel, she glances back at me and gives the barest of nods. The party is still in full swing by the time Duncan and I stumble back. Some hard-eyed reds loiter around the fringes. They've got pistols on their hips. That's not good. I smile at one, and he doesn't smile back. Soon they'll start taking the girls back. I want to be first, else I might not get as free a roam of the place. I still have to find Victra.
I don't want to dance anymore, I say to Duncan. But the lads will wonder where I've gone, he says. Did I marry a dead stone?
I reach my hand to his manhood and feel a minor swell.
I don't want to dance anymore.
Duncan's home is not grand. I might have thought it so had I not seen Hyperion, and he thinks it so because he hasn't. He proudly shows it off like it wasn't abandoned by the people that did live here. It's big enough for a family of six. A small kitchen with trophies on the wall, which he boasts on about until I pull him toward a bedroom. He sits on the edge of the bed and looks at me nervously. The music from the party is a whisper through the stone.
It's too dark, I say.
So he searches for a glow lamp. When he finally finds it, he turns back, nervous, and pats the bed beside him. I sit. Maybe I can talk with him. Maybe he can help us. He knows this is wrong.
This ain't your home, I say, regarding his search for the lamp.
He shakes his head.
Where is your home?
Don't have one any more. Rat War made sure of that.
He plays with the edge of my skirt.
And you? You ain't one of the fish.
Lagerlos.
I wait for a sense of recognition, but there ain't one.
How long you been with the hand?
He rubs his neck, reminded of something he'd rather forget. 3 years, I'd reckon.
Take off your dress?
It sounds almost like I have a choice. Please? I stand up and go to move the shoulders of my dress.
3 years, eh?
I run my tongue against Fig's molar as he frowns at me.
Take it off, he says more aggressively.
Why?
Because you're my wife.
Why?
Because I...
He drunkenly searches for an answer.
I picked you. Listen, I want to be kind about this, but... Makes two of us. I sigh. Sometimes kind just ain't in the cards. He rises from the bed, quicker than he looks, and grabs the back of my head to stick his tongue in my mouth. I let it worm there until he's distracted by his own pawing of my body. He looks down at my skirt so he can lift them, and his fingers are trying to find my insides between my legs when I pop the molar. There's a flood of liquid into my mouth. It is hot at first, but then grows cold as ice. DNA calibration complete. V7 anti-personnel system ready for deployment, the parasite says from within. I wondered how Fick kept it from melting her own flesh. I think one thing as I stroke Duncan's face, and he looks up at me, mouth open, eyes closed, tongue wet and probing. This will be loud. I shove him in the chest. He stumbles over the edge of the bed and half falls. I grab a pillow and spit the acid from my mouth, taking care to only get his stomach and legs. It splashes over him. Nothing happens. He frowns in confusion, lunges upward, knowing something is wrong, grabs my throat with his metal arm. Then the acid activates. First go his clothes. He smells the smoke, glances down, and screams bloody murder as the acid eats into his skin. His fingers bruise the muscles of my neck, but I don't bother trying to breathe. He'll let go soon enough. I shove the pillow against his face as he goes on screaming. The sound muffles, and I push at him to keep the acid from spreading from his gut and legs to me. Sure enough, he lets go my throat and scrambles back from me, thrashing as the acid eats into his intestines and thighs. Pools of red muscle bubble, and soon I see bone. I keep after him, rushing around him to keep the pillow over his face as he tangles himself in the sheets from his thrashing. "There's a neutralizing agent," I hiss into his ear. "Tell me where the gold is and I'll use it." I pull the pillow from his face. He tries to scream out for help, but I shove it back down before he can. "How are they going to treat you if you got no legs? They don't got replacements, I wager. You'll be a freak, a crawling, leaking freak. Talk fast or you'll have nubs, old boy." I pull back the pillow. "Can, fourth level. We sealed her in the old jail. But make it stop. Make it stop." I pat my dress. "Sorry, must have left it in my pants." I push the pillow over Duncan's mouth as the acid eats on. I don't know why, but I leave his eyes uncovered so he can watch me watch him die. Just feels right. The acid is something mean. In less than a minute, it eats through his intestines, then his spinal column as well as his legs. Soon he's dead. I've got one tooth left. I stand over his corpse, slapping myself, trying to shake off the stupor of that damn wine. There's no shaking it off, it seems. They drugged us good. I hope I got the reds in the mines just as bad. How long will it take for them to start teetering? For Volga to get a hold of one of their pikes? How many of the girls will have had the guts to use the teeth? That's the real concern. Freckles and Lion, sure. But the rest? I didn't think of the timing. With as many Red Hand men as I've seen around here, they'll be butchered unless I free Victra. I gotta move. I search Duncan's body and strip his pistol, making sure the railgun's magazine is fitted right. Scouring the house, I find a well-worn pulse rifle and an obsidian axe. I leave the axe and try to recall how Volga taught me to prep a rifle as we schlepped through the highlands. I get it wrong twice before relaxing and letting my hands remember on their own. The rifle makes a droning sound as it signals it is ready. Lovely. Rifle shouldered, pistol tucked into my skirts, I head out the front door. 6 Red Hands stand waiting for me on the walkway outside. Tails shivers amidst them. She points at me with a finger, mumbling something inaudible. Shit!